Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Love and Relationships Podcast, a hotline style show where people call in with questions about love, sex, dating, singleness, and marriage, and mental and emotional health. I'm Deborah Falada, and I'm so glad you're tuning into these candid, unscripted conversations where I answer your questions in short, bite-sized, practical answers. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a licensed professional counselor, relationship expert, and author of 6 books. I also run the popular relationship advice blog, truelovedates.com, reaching millions of people with the message that healthy people make healthy relationships. If you have a question that you want me to answer on the show, send it by voice memo to Deborah@truelovedates.com or submit it on my podcast page, truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships, and I'll do my best to get it answered on one of the episodes. So let's get started. So we're doing something a little different over the next few weeks called the Ask a Counselor series. As you know, I recently started the Deborah Falada Counselors Network, a team of Christian counselors who are offering one-on-one online sessions to meet with you and help you work through any personal or relationship issue you might be facing. It's an amazing team of counselors that I get the privilege of leading, and I wanted you to get to know them the way that I've been getting to know them. I've asked the counselors on my team to come and join me on the podcast over the next few weeks to help me answer your questions for this Ask the Counselor series, and I can't wait for you to get to know them. To book a session with one of our counselors, go to DeborahFalada.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing today. Today's question comes from Andrew from Houston. I'm going through a really stressful season with a lot of hardships, disappointments, and stressors right now. I'm usually a positive person, but I'm struggling to keep a positive perspective right now with everything going on. What are some practical ways to keep my mindset healthy during this crazy time? I'm really excited to have Be Windy joining us for this conversation. Be Windy is one of the wonderful counselors from the Deborah Falada Counselors Network. And this is a topic that's close to her heart: mindset, perspective shifts, keeping our minds in healthy spaces. So Be Windy, I'm so glad to have you joining us today.
Deborah, I am honored to be on your podcast.
It's wonderful to have you. So Be Windy, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you and what you do at the Deborah Falada Counselors Network as well?
Absolutely. So, I am a Christian. That defines who I am. But I really am passionate about serving and partnering with people including professionals, Christians, executives, executives, young adults and adults, as well as just women, as well as couples, to help them to gain a new perspective and live freely. And so, I work with people that may be struggling with emotional conflicts, need to resolve any issues around trauma or grief, or just struggling with relationships and their faith, maybe having some conflicts with their faith. And I am one of the counselors on the Deborah Counseling Network, and I really enjoy it.
It's so great to have you, and just your giftings and your personality. It's been such a great fit. And I'm excited to have you on this episode today because, you know, mindset seems to be something that you're very passionate about, something that you're passionate about personally and professionally. And I think we can all relate to this in that there are times when external circumstances impact our lives. And, you know, as much as we want to be positive, hope-filled people, sometimes life gets stressful. Sometimes we face hardships. Sometimes were met with disappointments of what we had hoped, and it doesn't work out the way that we had hoped. Mm-hmm. And now what we're left with is our mindset. What do we do when we're at that place? And it seems like our caller today is there. He's typically a person with a positive perspective, but he's gone through a lot. We don't know the details, but we can all imagine, as we've gone through our own hardships, of what it's like to be in a season of hardship and still try to keep a positive mentality. So first of all, why is it even important to keep a positive mentality? Why is it biblical? Why is it important? And then in a little bit, we'll talk about how to actually do that.
Absolutely. So I think about, you know, first of all, the first thing I want to say to Andrew or any person that's in the predicament or his predicament, because the first thing I want to say is Andrew's not alone.
Right.
A lot of times, you know, the young people say life is lifing, right? And so when we're going through a difficult situation, whether it's disappointments, grief, trauma, just a lot of distress, the first thing I want to say is, I'm so sorry, right? And maybe Andrew is experiencing some disappointments that results from some loss, some experiences of rejection. Maybe there's a current pattern of hurt and pain. And so the first thing we want to express is empathy. But why is it important to keep a positive mindset? Is number one, a positive mindset is important to allow us to be able to navigate and stay afloat. If we choose a negative mindset, then we become susceptible to depression. We become susceptible to anxiety. And so if I were to say that positive mindset is a choice, I think then we get to really see that we don't have to be a victim.
Yeah.
To circumstances. You know, I think about one of the key scriptures that I think about can inform that is Philippians 4:8, right? Philippians 4:8 says, finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there be anything excellent, if there be anything praiseworthy, to think of those things. But there's also an invitation that Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, to come, those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In a little bit, I'm going to share this acronym that the Holy Spirit gave me just on the word rest. Like, what does that really mean? And so I think there's a space to, first of all, come, right, to cast our burdens, to cast our cares, because many times we're carrying so many burdens. And when I've worked with clients, Deborah, a lot of times when we dissect those burdens, sometimes people are carrying weight that does not even belong to them.
Yeah.
It belongs to somebody else. And so I want to kind of pause there for a second.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, when I think of Jesus's command to think about whatever is good, whatever is true, well, why? I mean, you know, even scientifically, we know that when you think positive thoughts, it releases dopamine and serotonin. It sends the feel-good chemicals throughout your body.
Yeah.
But we also know that when you think negative thoughts, it literally sends negative signals. It increases your cortisol levels. I mean, it's like there's chemical shifts that happen based on what we think, because we're telling our body whether we should be hope-filled or depressed. We're telling our body whether we're safe and secure or in danger. Mm-hmm. And based on what we tell our body responds by sending out certain hormones and chemicals to cause our body to react. And so I don't think people realize that you are literally changing your body and changing your mind by the way that you think. Your mind can't tell the difference between if it's actually happening or if you're just thinking about it happening. If you're thinking negative, your body responds with negativity. Right. And so I think it's really important for us to, you know, scripture stands alone. And God tells us things because he knows how we're wired.
Yes.
I don't think sometimes we realize the depth and the importance of actually thinking about what's true. And it's not just, you know, pretend that nothing bad is happening. That's not what we're talking about. We're not just talking about optimism. We're not just talking about just pretend that everything's fine, just ignore it, because there is something called toxic optimism, right? Where we just don't even want to deal with the hard stuff. This isn't about that. This is dealing with the hard stuff, but mm-hmm. shifting our perspective on it and looking at it in a healthy mm-hmm. way.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we know this, we teach it all the time, that what we think about affects, impacts how we feel, and how we feel affects how our behaviors. So when we're going through difficult things, the first thing is to allow ourselves to feel. I love the book of Psalms. I mean, there's so many examples of the psalmist allowing themselves to feel and to go through the feelings. So the first thing is to be able to acknowledge what is it that I'm feeling, and definitely, okay, allowing myself the permission or the grace to be able to feel that, right? And at some point, I can't wait to talk about this, like, acronym that I came up with to be able to, because he's asking, well, what do I do?
Yeah. Andrew is saying, let's hear it. Let's dive yeah. into it.
Let's dive in. Okay. So of course, the first thing, the word REST, R-E-S-T, the acronym, R meaning to reflect. Well, okay. To take time to just be quiet, to reflect on what is really going on in my life. Right. And so reflecting takes some intentionality. It takes a decision to say, you know what, maybe I need a mental health day. Maybe I need to take time to have a journal. Maybe I need to take time to step away. Maybe I need to take time and be with the Lord. Right. Just to reflect. Or what are these hurts? What are these things, these pressures in life that's allowing me to not be my best self? Because as he's saying, I'm normally a positive person, yeah. but I'm struggling to be positive.
Yeah.
Right. The first thing is reflect. And then the E is expressing and exhaling. So I've got to express. Many times we find so many people who feel like they don't have permission to be able to express what is their feel. Now, sometimes people don't have the language,
right.
which is where therapy comes in. Therapy helps you to develop language, right? But if I keep it all in, if I keep all these things in, then what happens, Deborah? Number one, our physical health is impacted, right? We're suppressing our emotions, which means it leads to depression right. and anxiety and anger and tension. So I've got to express it. I've got to take a moment to just exhale, right? And then S, I've got to sit. I've got to soak. I may need to sit with the Lord, sit with worship music. I may need to sit with a counselor. I may need to sit with a trusted friend. I may need to soak and sift things through my mind. What is it that I'm focusing on, right? What is it that's causing me to feel so burdened, right? Maybe I need to soak in prayer with prayer and pray these things through. And maybe there may need to be a separation. Are there people in my life that are adding to this negativity or adding to this this pressure that I feel? And then T, talk about it, right? Talk about it, but I've also got to think differently.
Yeah.
Because my thinking has a lot to do with what I'm experiencing. And I love to explore with people what is within your control. Because many times we're focusing on things that we absolutely have no control.
Right.
Of.
Yeah, it's so true. What is in your control?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you begin to shift that? So give me some examples. What are some things that are in our control?
What is in our control? How we think, our perspective, what we feel is within our control. Our actions, what we do, how we choose to respond. For somebody, let's say Andrew has his own work, right? He has, maybe his schedule is within his control. Maybe he works for somebody else. The job or the employer may not be within his control, but does he have in control to maybe make a decision to advocate for himself to say, you know what, I may need to take some time off.
Right.
Some jobs do offer or allow for mental health days. Some jobs don't. And so depending on where you are, you might not call it a mental health day. But if you have PTO, he has control, or we have control over PTO. I'm just going to take some time for myself. I don't need to say that it's for my mental health, but if it's within the culture, I can say that. So my actions, my behaviors, my thoughts, whether I pray, how I respond, all those things are within my control.
Yeah.
There may be some external things that I can't control. I can't control a person who is maybe being a little bit difficult in the season, maybe somebody that's not being very kind, or somebody, maybe a person, a loved one who has maybe passed on, right? I can't control these major things that have happened that are just really stressful, or if there's conflict in my loved one, in my relationship, I can only control what I say, what I do, but I can't control the other person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so important to differentiate. Am I trying to control the things that I can't control? Am I stuck on those? Because that's where we get stuck, is just ruminating on all of the things that we cannot control, the things that are not in our hands. But honestly, those are the things that we need to just bring to God. Leave them in his hands. Trust him. You know, I was thinking this morning about how any good relationship requires trust.
Yes.
And our relationship with God is not excluded. It requires trust. And so many times when we're in hard seasons, that's exactly the opportunity to build trust. Mm-hmm. And for God to say, do you trust me? Do you trust scripture that says all things will work for your good? Mm-hmm. Sometimes what we think is our good isn't actually for our good, because God's looking at our long-term good, the good of our souls, the good of our spirit, the good of our character, the good of our relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And this is where perspective is so important.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes our perspective is just jaded by our disappointments.
Yes.
Like, how do we respond when we go through hard things? How do we respond when we go through disappointment? Because what sets healthy people apart from unhealthy people is not the amount of disappointment they go through. We all go through disappointment. It's not the amount of trauma they go through. We all go through our own version of trauma. It's not the amount of grief. We all have different grief. It's our perspective.
Yes.
Am I able to look at this through a healthy lens that points me towards gratitude, or is it a lens that points me towards bitterness? And and really, it's so much of how we process the hard things that we go through. One thing I have found myself saying when I go through hard things, and I've gone through hard things, obviously not everything is public. You know, people don't know all the hard things that we go through, the disappointments that we face. But I've found myself saying, if I'm disappointed, it must not be the end of the story. It's not the end of the story, because God's story never ends in disappointment.
Yes.
Whether that means the glory that's to come in heaven one day, that party, that the fact that there will be all wrongs will be made right, all tears will be dried, all injustices will be exposed. Whether it's in heaven or here on earth, it's not the end of the story. If I'm in the middle of disappointment, I am in the middle of the story, and God is still working. And that's what I find myself saying, like, it's not done. It is not finished until he says it's finished. And when he says it's finished, it will be well, it will be good, it will be restored. And that's the perspective that I choose to hold on to and cling to through the promises in his word.
You know, Deborah, a really good example of this, you know, it's just really good to find people in the Bible that we can resonate with, right? Because every person except Jesus had issues,
right?
Like, had issues that we can relate to, like real people or real stories.
Their own internal junk, right?
Yes. Their own internal junk, hardship, disappointments, frustrations with a real experience with a real God. And so it's so good to find somebody that I can resonate with if I'm going through something. And so when I think about Paul, who's writing from prison, and in the book of Philippians, his focus is on joy.
Yeah.
The whole time. Like, there's joy about 15 times in the book of Philippians. And this joy that he talks about is not based on happenings.
Right.
Because happiness it fluctuates based on, you know, I get my hair done, I'm happy. I get my nails done, I'm happy, right? But this joy that he talks about is this quiet assurance and confidence that that God's love and God's power will work things out no matter what.
Right.
And so
that trust.
Yes, yes. So when Andrew and Paul knew hardship. I mean, we know hardship. But this man, he understood, he knew hardship, okay? From prison, he's writing about joy. And when Andrew says, you know, I'm normally a positive person, I'm struggling to find this part, it's almost like there's this pressure that I still need to be positive while I'm going through.
Right.
And what if you took the pressure off? What if you, in this moment, you realize that I don't have to be positive. I don't have to have the how do I say this? That I can take my time and feel what I feel and maybe think about, that's why I love the Psalms, because they're like, God, I have cried all night, prayed all night, and nothing's changed. But then there's a twist in those lamenting Psalms, like Psalm 74, Psalm 77, there's a twist. And the twist starts with something like, but then, or but God, or yet will I praise you, or but then I remember your goodness.
Yes. Yeah. Right?
And so maybe for Andrew or somebody who's listening, like Andrew, where you're in the mire, in the midst of all these hardships, maybe think about when have I felt this before and how did God get me through?
Yeah.
What helped me through the last time? And a lot of times when we think about that, we thought about maybe that prayer, that sermon, that worship song, that counselor, those quotes, those poems, my faith, whatever it is, to be able to kind of say, you know what, God has got me through the last time and he'll get me through this again. What do you think about that?
I love that because we don't have to rush our feelings. Mm-mm. You know, it's okay to feel loss and grief.
Yeah.
It's okay to walk through these hardships, especially in Andrew's situation, things outside of his control. It's okay to lament. And absolutely. Sometimes I think the deeper the well of our grief and lament, the more God can fill us up with himself. Absolutely. And so there's a joy in that, of knowing that even when I'm in the hardest season, like the deepest well of grief, God can fill this up, and he fills it up more in those moments because I have more to give. It's deeper. Mm-hmm. The grief absolutely. Feels so deep and the hole feels so massive mm-hmm. that I am invited to experience more of him in those mm-hmm. seasons of life. So yeah, I do think we don't have to rush it. You know, I also think of something else. I think of two separate things. I think of a season of life where I was going through external hardships that were really hard. And they took a toll on my body. And I was able to keep a healthy perspective, to cling to God, to have hope. But then fast forward a couple years later, my body kind of betrayed me. And even though life wasn't as bad 2 years later, I was not able to have a healthy mindset. I was feeling so down and so depressed about the routine things of life. Mm-hmm. I think we have to be on the lookout for that, because sometimes when we go through these seasons of stress and we're in survival mode, we're trying to get through them and we're trying to have a hope-filled perspective, and we can. God gives us the strength. We have the strength. But sometimes we don't realize the toll that it takes on our body to the point where maybe later on, you find yourself struggling with clinical depression, clinical anxiety. It's now not just a battle in my mind. It's the battle has now overtaken my body as well. And my chemicals are completely off balance, and my serotonin and dopamine are depleted, and my cortisol is through the roof. And now it's not just my mindset. I want to have a healthy mindset, but as hard as I try, I'm feeling stuck. For those of you who are in that season and you're trying and you're trying and you just can't get unstuck, maybe it's time to assess, could this be clinical depression? Because clinical depression will keep you stuck. It keeps your mind so depressed to the point where you're unable to think positive and unable to have hope. One of the signs of clinical depression is to ask you your level of hopelessness. Yeah. Right? Because severe hopelessness, your mind is depressed and it's stuck in a cycle of hopelessness. No matter how much Bible you read, no matter how much scripture you download, sermons, worship, you're stuck. So I think we have to be aware that there is two separate ways that this plays out. One of them is in our mind. And am I able to have breakthrough? Am I able to switch out the negative for positive? Am I able to cling to God's truth and acknowledge my feelings and express what I'm going through? Or am I in a season where my body is just so depleted and so depressed and so burnt out that I need more? I need help, whether it's help from medication, whether it's help from counseling, but I need help to reset my body and to get my chemicals balanced and back on track, right?
Yep, I agree. I agree. And it is very important to be able to recognize that and to be able to admit that and then take action on that, because a lot of times people have a level of shame. And I kind of go back to, it's almost like this, I go back to replaying what he's saying. I'm normally a positive person.
Right.
But it's almost like this, if I admit that I'm struggling, that what is like this question of what's wrong with me? And there's nothing wrong with you just because you are struggling.
Right.
It's okay to admit that I'm struggling and I need somebody to help me. I need therapy. I need prayer. I need to go to the altar. I need to be assessed for medication. I need to go for a walk. It's okay to acknowledge. And so that's where, you know, the first step is to be able to accept and to acknowledge and then move towards the help so that you can experience relief from that.
Yeah. Instead of just shaming ourselves, what's wrong with me? Why don't I feel good? Why can't I get back to where I used to be? Exactly. We've got to see it as a signal. Our body is signaling to us, you're under pressure. There's a lot going on. What do you need? How do you feel? How can you take care of yourself? It's like sometimes going through those seasons, especially when they're different from our norm, is a sign that we need to reassess and see what we can do for our bodies. For other people, this isn't out of the norm. For other people, they live in negativity, right? Yeah. And pessimism and hopelessness and the victim mentality. And for people like that, there is some work to be done in learning how to shift your perspective and start viewing life through a different lens. Also, Bwindi, tell us a little bit about why some people more than others seem to be caught in that type of negative mindset all the time and where that might come from.
I think if we were to connect the dots to where this may come from, that, you know, I call it dysfunctional functional, right? Like maybe this was modeled for them. Maybe if we were to do a timeline or some type of map in their family, you know, if I had somebody in front of me who just, you know, no matter what we do, perspective taking skills, CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, and they keep ruminating or they keep going back to the negative, I might ask, tell me how you saw your family express emotion.
Yeah.
You know, what are some examples of joy or happiness in your family? Maybe this person grew up in a family where there was only expressions of sadness, the really, really big emotions where when people were either angry or sad, but they never saw mom smile. They never saw dad smile, right? So maybe the home was just so filled with chaos. Maybe I had a client whose father was an alcoholic and whose mother had bipolar. So she always saw both extremes. One end of the spectrum, she was trying to prevent dad from getting upset. And then the other end of the spectrum, she was acting in a way to appease mom and make sure that she doesn't have a whole moment. And so imagine the dysregulation with this person's emotions, because it was always dysregulation in their home. It was a lot of dysregulation in their home. So they never even learned the emotion of happiness or the emotion of how to be calm. It was always a rocky storm in their home. So right. I would have to tap the dots to just how, and sometimes that may also be a cultural piece too.
Yeah.
So just mapping the dots to how emotion was expressed earlier on.
Yeah, because sometimes people who've been through those type of things, mm-hmm. their body's in constant high alert mode. And that high alert mode shifts their perspective. Everything mm-hmm. is danger. Everything is hopeless. Everything is scary. No one can be trusted. Bad things are going to happen. And so they happen and they're going to happen again and again and again and again. And you're constantly in this mode where you're almost using the negative to try and protect yourself, to try and cushion yourself. You don't even allow yourself to think positively. It reminds me of a reset podcast that I did called Reset from Worst Case Scenario Thinking. And it was with a gentleman who really struggled with just worst case scenario. Everything was a negative perspective, even good things. He'd put a negative twist on them just in case to protect himself. Where does that come from? We dug deep and it was rooted in past trauma that he'd never really connected the dots. And so again, our perspective or lack thereof, our healthy perspective or lack thereof, rather than shaming ourselves for it, we need to figure out what it's telling us. What is it telling me, number one? And then how can I begin to work on this? What's in my control? What's not? What are things from my past that might be creeping their way into the present? Where is my perspective? What is it telling me? Am I struggling with depression? Am I struggling with a negative mindset that's coming from the things I learned? At the end of the day, it's a gift when these things are revealed because God is allowing us to heal on a deeper level. And our mindset is such an important part of this process.
Yeah. Can I add something else, Deborah?
Yes, please.
I think another thing that comes up often is the distinction between what is it that I need to be concerned about versus what am I consumed with? Because there may be things that I can be concerned about quite naturally. It's okay for me to be concerned about my adult daughter who is, for example, making some bad decisions, right? But I allow my daughter's decisions to consume me.
Right.
When she's an adult.
Right.
Right. Like it's and so a lot of times I've found that people are so consumed and it's eating them. I mean, it's just kind of eating at them. Right. They can't focus. They can't sleep. They're not resting. They're not able to just be still because they're just overly consumed about things. They're watching the news. I mean, we saw that even throughout COVID. People just overly consumed about things.
Right.
It goes back to what they can control, right? And the other thing I want to add is, how does your faith anchor you? Because Hebrews 6:19, I love this. Anchored is one of my favorite words because I could actually see it, right? Hope in Jesus is the anchor for my soul. So how am I grounded in my faith? How am I allowing my faith to ground me that even through the difficulties, the hardships, the pain, the hurt, that I'm not so moved away or shaken, right? I'm affected, I'm impacted,
yeah,
but I'm still holding on.
Right. Yeah.
Have I moved away? How does it anchor me? What do I believe about God, even in the midst of the hardships? Because it's easy to believe that God is good when things are good.
Right.
It's easy to believe that God is great. He's awesome. He's a provider when everything is being provided for.
Right.
What's my narrative about God, even in the midst of the disappointment?
Right.
Right. And does my belief shift just because of how I'm feeling? Does it fluctuate because of how the hardships in my life? So a lot of times we find that a lot of believers are not as grounded as they thought they were,
right,
especially when they're going through hardships.
You're right. It reveals so much about us and what's going on inside of us. It reveals so much about what we believe in God and our relationship with Him and how much we trust Him. It reveals so much about our past. Yeah. And the things that we've struggled with, the things we've learned and believed along the way. And so, you know, these hardships don't cause us to do the wrong things, but they reveal what's actually going on inside of us. They reveal, they show us, hey, look, you know, this is what's going on when you're pressed.
Yeah.
And so it's an opportunity for God to take us into the next level of healing in what we believe and how we think in our relationship with Him. Lots to think about, B. Wendy, really, just for all of us as we're all taking inventory of our perspective on life each and every day as we're faced with really hard things and small irritations. Like, what's my perspective? How do I handle this? The inconveniences throughout the day, the health issues that come up, the grief and loss, the disappointments, the shattered dreams, the day where all the plans get messed up, you know, like every single day when something goes wrong outside of our control, A, what can I control? Mm-hmm. But B, what is God revealing that needs to be healed inside of me? So thank you so much, Bea Windy, for this conversation. I would love for all of you listening to say, you know what? I want to do some work on my perspective. I want to do some work on my mindset and even maybe my relationship with God, what I believe about him, my trauma history, some of the things that I've brought with me that I've been carrying from the things I've learned. And now I need a reset. Now I need to change. Now I need to do things differently. If you're challenged to take the next step in your journey of healing, I highly recommend that you book a session with Bea Windy. She's an amazing woman of God, and she will be your guide to help you take the next step in the process of healing from the inside out. You can book a session with her. You can find her schedule at deborahfaleta.com/BeaWindy, BEWINDI, deborahfaleta.com/BeaWindy. You guys are going to love her as much as I love her. You're going to love working with her. You're going to love how she encourages you, but also challenges you to become the best version that God has for you to become. Bea Windy, thank you so much for your wisdom, your heart, your faith, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Deborah.
People are always asking me, where do I find a good counselor? At the Deborah Faleta Counselors Network, we want to help you navigate through any difficult season you might be facing. We want to help you find relief from the pain and stress of the present and healing from the wounds of the past in order to find freedom, joy, and peace in the life you're living today. Our team of trained, licensed professional counselors will walk by your side and give you the tools you need to face any personal or relational issue you might be up against today. With an integrative approach, we'll guide you with truths from God's Word paired with the best of modern counseling and psychology to help you get unstuck and live freely. There's no better time for healing than today. Book a session with one of our counselors at deborahfaleta.com/counseling and get started on your journey of healing from the inside out. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast and giving me your time today. If you love what we're doing here, leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us get the podcast out to others. If you want to go deeper with getting healthy and making healthy relationships, go check out some of my books, True Love Dates, Choosing Marriage, Love in Every Season, Are You Really Okay, Married Sex, or my newest book, Reset. You can find more information about those as well as hundreds of articles and courses over at my blog, truelovedates.com or deborahfaleta.com. I love connecting with you online, so find me on Facebook or Instagram at Deborah Faleta and tell me your story. If you have a question for me, reach out to me at truelovedates.com/love-and-relationships and we'll try to get it answered on the show. I'm Deborah Faleta, and it was so great being together today, and I can't wait to be with you again next week. See you later.